go to school, get a good job, make a lot of money, retire and die wasn't going to cut it, right? And the people that we saw that were in the best positions, truly free and able to give and be live purpose-driven lives, they were in real estate and or they owned their own business, right? And most often both.
What if you could reclaim hours of free time each week, create legacy building wealth, and devote more energy to your passion projects without giving up on your career as a life-saving MD? Dr. Vikram Raya is a functional cardiologist, high-performance coach, and real estate expert, is here to give you the tools, strategies, and solutions you need to transform your life, unlock your limitless potential, and achieve greatness, all while freeing up your precious time. Welcome to Limitless MD. Let's dive in.
All right, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Limitless MD. I'm your host, Vikram Raya, and today I have a good friend, Travis Smith. He's an unusual story. He's a man on a mission to really unlock the retail capital in the country and help professionals, high-income individuals, really weaponize their network and really make the phrase, your network is your net worth, come true. So, Travis, welcome to the show, my friend.
Vic, so good to see you, my friend, and thanks for having me on. As you mentioned, I'm Travis Smith, founder and CEO of Tribest, and couldn't be more thrilled to be here with you, Vic. Thanks.
Yeah. So, guys, I've known Travis for several years now, and I've just seen his steady pursuit of creating a platform for doctors, for sure, and other entrepreneurs and other high-income professionals, optometrists, lawyers, accountants, people who are surrounded by successful individuals. They're interested in getting involved in investing, whether it's real estate or crypto or other, you know, platforms, but they don't want to be really, really active. And remember, I always talk about the three flavors of real estate: easy, medium, and hard. And easy is like you just sit back, you're in your underwear, you're watching Netflix, and you're just investing passively and you're just chilling. The second way is, or the third way, and I'll talk about the second way in a second. The third way is you decide, hey, I'm going to learn this thing. It's like another science. It's like another fellowship. You go through studying and details and you invest money, time, energy, and you actually become the general partner or sponsor on a real estate deal with the goal of running the deal from A to Z, and you recruit capital and you run and manage this thing. Higher risk, higher reward. There is a third path. You know, in Buddhism, they call it the middle way, the middle path, and that is learning to be what we call actively passive. And this is where Travis and his company, Trivest, really excel. And I'll let him tell his story a little bit. But really what that means is you're an individual. Maybe you've done some passive deals. You're ready for the next level, but you don't want to really let go of your main job, whether you're a dentist, a doctor, an accountant, a lawyer. You enjoy what you do, but you just want to say, hey, I want to get a little more active. And so you vet a sponsor, you vet some projects, you believe in them, and obviously you're going to put a little bit of your own money, but you gather and aggregate, we like to call it, capital from friends and family and colleagues, and you're sort of like a little mini fund manager or micro fund owner. And that program is called a fund to fund, and it's called being actively passive. And basically, your back office is really taken over by or managed by Trivest. And so that's the company that Travis started. But I'm curious, Travis, now that I've laid down the foundation for folks, why the heck did you even start this company in the first place?
Oh, great, great question. You know, the origins go back 15 plus years. My dad, who was a cardiologist and recently passed away, and you know, like much of your audience, was very successful, making a lot of money, but always saw that he was trading time for money and was always in this pursuit of, you know, how do I find freedom? How do I make the profession that I love more optional, right? And for him, it was always about legacy. He had five sons and wanted to give them a better life and to set them up for more success. That was his legacy. And one of the things he did 15 years ago was forced us to all, him and his five sons, to go on a fishing trip. And I often say it's a fishing trip we couldn't afford. We went to Patagonia, Chile. It sounds terrible, but at the time we all were saying, you know, Dad, how can you ask us to do this, right? We were getting started in our professions, you know, starting our families, getting married, you know, those types of things. Taking 2 weeks out to go with the boys, your brothers and your dad, although it sounds awesome, was kind of a big ask. And we kicked and screamed the whole way. But, you know, we do what we do, which is show up for our family and for our tribe. And, you know, my dad's genius of having us go on the other side of the world, spend that time together in one of the most remote, pristine places in the world, really opened up our minds to all sorts of different things. But the one was, we were all successful. We were all making a lot of money. This was 2008. So going back to the Great Recession, we were seeing people get laid off. You know, what we were told in life, go to school, get a good job, make a lot of money, you know, retire and die, wasn't going to cut it, right? And the people that we saw that were in the best positions, truly free and able to give and be live purpose-driven lives, they were in real estate and or they owned their own business, right? And most often, both. And we had just, you know, read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and our minds were open to kind of how to look at things differently. And on that trip, we said, look, how are we going to do this? Look, there was no podcast like the one you have. There was no community like the one you have at this time. So we did what, you know, people do, is they turn to their tribe and we said, listen, we don't know how to do this. We've never gotten into real estate. We don't know these things, but we have each other. So should we do this as a tribe? But one of the biggest things that we had to get over was capital, right? Again, we were making a lot of money, but we didn't have chunks of money to break into real estate like you need. And so what we did is we formed an entity, opened up a business bank account, started pulling capital on a regular basis. And within 12 months, we participated in our first real estate syndication. And then we kept reinvesting. We kept pulling our capital.
So kept Travis, getting into
bigger and better deals.
Were you active or passive on your first deal?
You know, it's a great question. We were passive into our first deal. In fact, it was my dad's physician's practice building in Pasadena, and we were so excited. We wrote our, you know, $25K check, got in, and it was kind of anticlimactic, right? You write this check, and you're like, it truly is passive.
Yeah.
Here we were. We wanted to learn how to do real estate, and we didn't feel like we were learning. So the funny thing is, our next one, we're like, we're doing an active one.
Okay. And so first one was passive, and then you decided to go active. Walk us through what happened with that one.
Right. So it was a single family rental. You know, starting there, we actually partnered with a big neighborhood developer where we bought their model, and it actually turned out to be a great deal. But in the end, we didn't like being tenant, you know, being the landlords, having tenants, toilets, termites. It was a lot of work. And so we kind of got our taste of great. We kind of understand real estate, and we even went on to be some GPs and operators into some bigger syndications. But we've eventually just come back to completely passive investing you know, keep stacking, finding the best in the world. I think the other thing, Vic, is we're good at our respective careers and in our professions. And there's people out there that are way better at doing real estate syndication than us. And so the idea of finding those people and putting our money with them and doing it in a way that we just keep doing it and doing it has been a success, a great formula for us.
I think that's the key. If you think you can really compete, in whatever category, whether it's with smaller players, maybe, and I'm just going to use multifamily because that's one that's near and dear to my heart. But let's say, 20 units to 80 units, you can really compete with that group. Great. Go active. Or if you're ready to go to the big leagues, maybe 100 to 150 to 200. And then there's people who are like full on, they're creating institutional like companies and they're ready to take down 200 to 400 units. But it's knowing not necessarily your limitations, but your preferences. Like, I'm sure if this is the only thing you're going to do, you could go all out. But if it's not something like what I call ELF, easy, lucrative, and fun, and it's not part of your like zone of genius, then maybe perhaps raising capital is your zone of genius, or learning to stack and identify all these investments and creating your own portfolio, that maybe that's your zone of genius. And so you decided to say, hey, I'm going to take a step back and not be so active. And so what did that lead to?
Well, it opened our eyes, right? Like, it was important for us to go into the active side to kind of understand it and to appreciate it. And look, you can make five times as a GP what you can as a limited partner passive investor, right? And there's good reason for that. The GP, the operator, is putting all the risk all the time. That's their job. And as we discuss, being a passive investor, a limited partner into those deals, you're not going to make those big returns, but you make a really good return on your investment. And you're still getting all the benefits of real estate, right? It appreciates, it cash flows, which was super important to us, that, finding multifamily deals and other deals that cash flowed. The tax advantages passed through, which was also important to us. So we realized that by, partnering with the best operators out there like Viking, that you can really put your focus into raising the capital or putting the capital together, getting writing bigger checks, getting bigger deals. So, when you really started to focus on we're going to commit to being a passive investor, it was more about, wow, how can we get a better deal? We can get a better deal. We can either write $100,000 checks, we could write $500,000 checks and improve our return significantly. And that's, so we started to play that game. And that's, of course, leading to a little bit of what we're so excited about today.
Okay. So I think I'm glad you talked about sort of the return profile. So let's just break it down. So to the audience, if you guys are listening, you're like, all right, you've talked to me about these three flavors, Vic. Travis sort of eloquently discussed a lot of it. What really is the difference? And so let's say, you can 2x your money, as a passive person. Maybe you can 4x or 5x your money, all in because of, the being treated as a partner. Maybe it's like, 2.5, 3.5 to 4x, I guess if it's a 1x, 3x, and 5x could be the ratios between active to actively passive. I'm sorry, passive to actively passive to then fully active, right? So you're able a higher economic profile by learning to monetize your tribe, by coming in together. Instead of writing a $100,000 check, you can write the $500,000 check, which is usually the minimum to try to create these tribes. But many times, without even realizing it, you guys have the ability to eventually get enough people to put $1 million check in, which it's easier than you think. And it just requires some energy and time. And we can talk about what it looks like to form these tribes. And that led to this concept of TribeVest, which now is on track. I love it. Say, hey, we're a future $1 billion company, which I love. But let's fast forward now. You're here. It's 2025. How many tribes have been formed?
Well, Yeah, over 1,000, you know, well over 1,000 tribes, you know, 15,000 investors, 200 million in, you know, capital deployed, right? So, you know, we're doing it. We are a future billion-dollar company, and we're growing at about 3x right now. And as you heard, you kind of heard the origin story. Really, for the first few years, we were supporting that tribe, right? More of a retail, hey, let's all come together, pull our capital and get in. And now what we're seeing is this opportunity, as you mentioned, you know, you can say you can get 5x as an operator and a GP, which is a lot of work, a lot of risk. You can come in as a passive investor, as a LP for 1x. And what we found is that there's this whole new category of a connector, a person that brings so much value to all parties. They bring a ton of value to the lead sponsor, the GP. They bring a ton of value to their network of LPs or passive investors, and they sit right in between them, and they're in a great spot to leverage, you know, and that's such a key part of, you know, what we're doing. We're not saying go out and learn a whole new skill, right? We're not going say, you know, find a whole new job. It's so important to us that our technology empowers you to leverage where you're at. And, you know, especially with physicians and MDs and, you know, actually our two biggest capital aggregators, independent capital aggregator categories are MDs and professional athletes.
Oh, wow.
Because of where they sit.
Yeah.
But they, that's what we're talking about. So what has happened is, you know, this is a truth, but this is how real estate gets done, Vic. You know, we kind of had to do it, you know, come up with our, you know, not coming up in the country club, but there's a reason and how real estate gets done. And it's with people you know, like, and trust, right? And truer words have never been said, right? That's just how the industry works. You do business with those that you know, like, and trust, and in real estate, that's just more true than anywhere. And so how do you create a solution where you're pulling people with you to invest in the best and, you know, biggest deals out there? And this capital aggregator that sits in the middle benefits greatly and can actually build a million-dollar cash flowing business by, again, leveraging, not creating a whole new job, but being actively passive and, again, leveraging where they're at.
That's awesome. So that's interesting, Travis. You're saying that, obviously, you know, MDs is probably not a big aha moment for many people, but the fact that you're telling that professional athletes are learning to harness their network, that's interesting. Tell me more about that one.
Well, you think about it, right? What puts these capital aggregators in a position to build a business around capital raising? And you need three things, right? You need three things. You need one, you need relationships with lead sponsors. Those are the best operators. And you know, like your network, for example, there's people that are out there seeking that, and they're saying, how do I build wealth? And they're going to Limitless MD, they're going to other conferences, they're meeting those operators. So they're in a unique place. If you ask anybody, you know, what's the most important thing to qualifying a good deal, right? How do you know you're getting into a good deal? Well, the number one thing is find the best operators, right? And so these people uniquely have those relationships, right?
And let me stack on what you're saying there. So, yeah. You know, hey, find the best operators. Great. How do I do that? Well, I think it's track record, guys. Look, if a person's been around at least, I would say, 5 years, they've seen at least a little bit of a market cycle. There's nothing wrong with some newer operators out there, but, you know, trust me, I've been in this business for about now 10, in real estate for almost 15 years, but at least in multifamily for 10. And, you know, you think you know everything until you see a market cycle. And so there's something about maturing, like a wine being matured or seasoned or aged a little bit, and seeing the ups and downs that happen that are not due to what you're doing, but due to external circumstances, and being able to withstand that and like understand how to calibrate your company to succeed in this volatile time. Like, who could predict, or right now we're recording this in mid 2025, right? So during this time, there is tariffs, there is, you know, interest rate volatility, there is, you know, global uncertainty, and yet we're finding deals, yet we're protecting our investors' money, yet we're doing capital preservation, yet we're, you know, giving distributions on, you know, many of our projects. And so that is not by accident. It's by knowing and recognizing patterns. It's by going through, you know, at least two now maybe three cycles. And it's by you know, experience comes from sometimes mistakes, but making these small mistakes so later on you can prevent the big mistakes, right? And so all of that is very important, this accumulated knowledge. It's also hiring top-notch talent. If the person is not a full-time operator and they're also working, you know, doing something else, that may be not a red flag, but that's just a little bit of a concern, because you do need to put all energy and time into it. And so either they or their team need to be all in. And I would say these are the little things. So
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
We talked about...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, there's three things, right? And we were just talking about, number one, you need to build relationships and find the best sponsors, right? And again, you do that through going to conferences like the awesome masterminds that you have. Where you're actually meeting these people, and that's super important and unique, right? You're getting access to the people that are running the businesses, that are making the deals. You can pick up the phone, you can call them, right? And, you know, that's, you think about what we're trying to do is make investing in the private markets more accessible at scale for all mainstream. Well, not everybody's going to meet that lead sponsor. So there's kind of two ways to check number one, and that's, you know, work with and find and build relationships with the best lead sponsors. It's to go to the conferences and actually meet them, or go to their, you know, their place of business or where they're doing the deal, or you've invested with them in the past, right? And if you've invested with them in the past and you've had a good experience, again, you uniquely have those relationships and that background. So, and then by default of having relationships with those lead sponsors, that's the number one thing to qualifying deals, right? I mean, most of these deals look the same, right? They've been put together and everything else. What's the one most important thing that you can do to make sure that you're, you know, doing your due diligence? And it really is aligning with the sponsor that you know, like, and trust, and again, have a relationship with, and everything else. And then the third, right? So you need the lead sponsor, you need the deal. And then third, you need a network of high net worth friends, family, colleagues, right? So getting back to who's the two biggest segments of our clients that are capital aggregators, independent capital aggregators? It's physicians and professional athletes. Why? Because they hang around ultra successful people in their profession. And most people, 98% of them in those professions, don't have the time or interest to go out there and build those relationships and find the deals. So you can imagine the value that person, that connector, has to be able to bring a ton of value to the whole situation.
So, Travis, I'm going to actually add another one to your list. Okay, guys, there's four things you need to be successful in, and make this a business strategy for you guys. So if you're a dentist, you're in Michigan, you want to add an extra 6 to 7 figures to your income and have a side hustle, this is how you do it. Number one, you need four things. You need the deal, as Travis mentioned. You need the sponsor, right? And this is through conferences, websites, you know, bigger pockets. This is getting on email lists. It's talking to people in the network. So deal, you need to learn the basics of evaluating deal. You need, don't need to go crazy, but just the things that you need that for yourself that you're looking for the returns, you need to make sure that deal can do that. And that's, you have conviction in the deal so you can, you know, share that with folks. We talked about the deal sponsor.
Yeah, you're, and you're likely investing in it, right? That's an important thing. You're putting your money in, right? That's where the proof.
You got to put your money where, you know, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And then number three is you have to have a network, you know, people around you who can write checks. And the fourth, I would say, is you need to have a platform. If you don't have the platform, then it's a lot of work on your end. I have a coaching client. She decided to do this all on her own without using a back-end platform. And it's a lot of work. She had to hire team members, employees, all sorts of things. And so these four things, guys, can help you get an extra 6 or 7 figures of income that can potentially even rival your current salary. And I think this is the best time where we can show you a case study or example of people who've successfully done this. And I met this person. Travis ended up attending one of our events, or and his team did at least, and then they invited one of the people who took this concept, this philosophy of capital aggregators, connectors, and took it to the next level. So you know, let's talk about an actual case study. So you brought an interesting individual to the Limitless MD mastermind event that we had recently in Austin. His name is Dr. Dylan, and he's an optometrist, and he ended up in just 18 months from zero investing to really becoming one of the marquee, you know, capital connectors and aggregators out there. But before I go there, this was done for years. Trivest didn't invent anything. They're just optimizing and professionalizing what's been going on for probably 10, 20, 30 years. So people have been raising capital, you know, as friends and family for years. The problem is the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, have pretty strict criteria of how to do this compliantly. And so this is what allowed the fund-to-fund program and this kind of capital aggregating program to be done in the right way. And so if you're going to raise capital for others and you don't have a securities license, the best way to do it is through this program. Now, it seems complicated.
It's expensive. Without it, it's super expensive.
Yeah.
It's super antiquated. It takes a long time.
Because you technically are the owner of this group of people coming in. And so let's use a real life case study to really talk about that. And so that's where Dr. Dylan comes in. Optometrist, excited, learned about this, got started. And, you know, he thought he'd maybe get a couple of $1,000 out of this whole thing. Let's see how his experience has unfolded over the last 18 months. Go ahead, Travis.
Right. Yeah. So 18 months ago, he was like, much of the audience listening here today, trying to figure out how to optimize and, build a cash flowing business outside of his practice. And he was attending, you know, events like Limitless MD, joining a lot of masterminds, going to a lot of lead sponsor events, trying to immerse and learn about how to invest in real estate and other things. And so then he started to invest, right? He started to become a passive investor. And his friends and colleagues were asking, hey, you know, what are you investing in? Can I invest along with you? And if you know Dylan, he's a super good guy and, you know, wants to take care of his tribe, his colleagues, his friends, his family. And was trying to bring them in, but it was, again, really antiquated. It was hard to kind of make that happen. And then I met Dr. Dillon at a conference, and he was talking about, hey, I'm investing in these deals. I would love to bring in my network with me, but there doesn't seem to be a good way out there to do it. And that was just when we were launching this specific product around this person, right? This capital aggregator. And he did his first deal where we spin up the entity. We help with the investor onboarding. So we get the documents, the investors sign them, wire the funds into the bank account, and really just taking care of all that back end, making it compliant, professional, and turnkey. And all of a sudden, Dillon said, wow, I can do one of these, but I could also do this at scale. And that's really what's been so exciting about watching Dillon's journey, is he didn't just do one, he did another. And I think he's up to 15 or 20 of these actively passive deals, and has really made an incredible business doing it.
Yeah, I think he was sharing, and I think he's okay with the numbers, but I think he's raised, I forgot how much he's raised total, but I think it was 18 million. Yeah, I think he's raised 18 million, which is, you know, mind-boggling number for an individual who's just getting started. But that's really, if you realize it, like, look, let me help you guys out here. You have this, your phone, right? In your phone, there's a network of folks there. And if you're a successful individual in a successful division of labor, like being a doctor, dentist, lawyer, accountant, financier, entrepreneur, you have at least 100 people in your phone. And of those 100 people, they all probably have $100,000 lying around somewhere that they don't know what to do with. That's 10 million right there, right? And people don't realize that if you just share what you're doing, not only you don't have to tell them that, hey, invest in my deal, just share what the heck you're doing and how you're not just doing wealth on Wall Street, but you're starting to create wealth without Wall Street, right? And trying to do these alternative investments. And by the way, this is where private equity, this is where some of the large institutions, this is where Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan, their clients don't just invest in the index or S&P 500. That's great. That's a cute investment strategy, but that's not all they do. They give their investors access to these things like this. Your typical financial advisor doesn't understand all of this stuff. And so that's why they may not, you know, recommend it to you. This is where you learn to have your own self-financial education, which I think Trivest does a fantastic job helping promote. But so now you have this network of people. And so now learning to weaponize it or to harness it or to utilize it is what part of the technique of a good sponsor who helps educate you, and also a good platform such as Trivest. So that's what Dr. Dillon did. He was able to slowly start raising. In a short amount of time, you know, he's raised 18 million. And I think he's going to have several hundred thousand dollars of fees or income coming in from that, from his acquisition fees as being part, sort of like a micro partner with his general partners. And then he's going to have, I think, almost 2 million on back end profit on top of whatever investments he's doing for himself. So it's mind boggling. Like, this is like a legitimate way to achieve and fast track financial freedom. Let me know your thoughts on that, Travis. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. And that's why I was just stressing, you know, how much value Dillon brings to all parties, because, you know, anytime you're bringing value to the world, there's wealth opportunity there. And so, you know, if you think about it, what's happening here? The simple math is I'm now bringing $1 million to a deal. Right. So there's small check terms. So if I write a $100,000 check, I get certain terms, right? If I write $1 million check, this is what institutions do, right? Institutions write bigger checks, get better returns, get better terms. And that's essentially what's happening here. So then when you get those better terms, think of the margin between what a small check return is and what a big check return is. And here's the best part. You know, the investors at the end are getting as good or better of a deal than if they wrote a small check directly into the deal, right? Again, think of the margin between, you know, that $1 million fund is getting. Well, they can pass through those returns to give as good or better returns for the end investor. Again, ton of value being brought to them. And then there is margin left over that's appropriately going towards the fund manager, right? Yeah. The person that's facilitating this.
And I can already think about many of the people in the audience saying, hey, why the heck would a sponsor even do that? Well, think about it this way. It's less pain in the butt, right? Instead of, you know, raising money from 200 individuals, maybe we have to raise it money from, you know, 75 individuals. Perhaps it's, you know, shortening the amount of duration of time needed to raise capital, right? If we're getting a couple of $1 million checks versus, you know, a lot of $25,000 checks, it's going to shorten the time so we can end up doing more deals. Also, if I'm used to raising $5 million, but now with all these capital aggregators, I can raise $10 million. Now I can do bigger deals. So it's worth it for the general partner, the sponsor, to give up some of their economic upside to individuals like this so they can get that additional benefits that I just mentioned.
Everybody wins, right? It really is. And again, the hero in all this is Dr. Dillon, right? Is that capital aggregator that was uniquely in a position to leverage where he was to spin up an awesome business that really, again, brings a ton of value and services everybody around him.
So, you know, you've been building this business for how long, Travis? Your own business? I just want to go into a couple of questions of people who want to start their own businesses and what are the pitfalls and what are the successes you've experienced? So there's a little bit of a twist here because yes, the service of your business is very important for a lot of folks, but a lot of people who listen are entrepreneurs. And so now I want to talk to Travis, the CEO, and I want to talk about, I'll be very frank here. When did you get praised and when did you get kicked in the nuts as the originator of this company, this platform called TribeVest?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the concept, the origins go back those 15 years.
Yeah. But when did form the LLC or the corporation?
You know, 2019, you know, went out and said, okay, look, let's grab TribeVest and grab the website and, okay, you know, so really start to push into this.
So you've been in business for 6 years. Tell me about the growth. Easy, hard. Was it what made the difference and why did a lot of your competitors, for example, not take over or succeed where you guys are? Like what made the difference, you think?
Right. Well, I think it's important to point out we're building something from a complete concept, right? And it's a software, it's a technology, you know, there's paths like the ones we're creating for Dillon, where it's just proven business models and you're still an entrepreneur, but you're going out there and doing this. You know, in our case, we wanted to build a $1 billion business, put a dent in the universe. And you think about our vision is to make investing in the private markets mainstream, right? So how do we get from, you know, 1 million people investing into the private markets to 15 million people investing in the private markets. So we were, you know, had an audacious, ambitious goal. And so that is what has carried us through, right? We have a big vision. We started and along the way, as you can imagine, we had twists and turns. We went broke, right? Like we ran out of money. Yeah. We had to cut staff in half, not once, not twice, but three times over the course of this journey. The last time we cut our staff in half, was also when our we had found something, right? We had actually found our product market fit, and our volume, our sales volume was increasing 100% month over month, just after we had cut our staff again to about 5 full-time employees.
So are you saying that, you know, one of the challenges in earlier stage companies is it bloat, or is it maybe not finding the right team members? What do you think? What do you think made where cutting staff and you actually hit new peaks in revenue?
You know, this wasn't a case of healthy attrition. This was, you run out of money, right? Okay. You ran out of time, you ran out of money, and you needed to extend the runway by cutting your cost. And I'll tell you what it did, though. It forced us to focus. It forced us to focus because we were either going to die or we were going to find this scalable and repeatable niche. Mm. And that's what it did. So you think about what we had. We had thousands of tribes on our platform, and we said, great, they're doing all sorts of things. It's super broad. And when we had to, we said, who is getting the most value from us and how can we go deep with them? Okay. Right. So that's what it forced us to do. It forced us to say, instead of offering a broad platform, let's go narrow and deep and bring extreme value to a certain segment.
So, guys, the lessons I'm learning as a fellow entrepreneur is, one, try to be well capitalized in your venture. Most of the challenges any company in a startup faces is running out of capital. So you have to be well capitalized, and whatever your anticipation is needing in terms of the capital requirements, probably 1.5 to 2x that. Number two is, you know, key members, you know, and maybe you have to be innovative in the structure with their compensation to where perhaps it's more equity or other things, so they can stay with you for the long run, you know. And number three is, if you don't have product market fit, or if you have too many avatars you're trying to serve, that's hard to be successful. And so they lasered down, sounds like Travis lasered down into the right avatar that was the most successful, that utilized the product the best, and they eliminated the rest. And so that allowed them to go deep. And he uses the word, it's a good word, and I want you guys to write that down, extreme value. How do you provide that extreme value, right? That asymmetric risk, asymmetric return with limited risk, you know, as well. And so I love that. Those are great lessons, Travis. Appreciate it, man. And thanks for opening up the kimono a little bit so you can share to your fellow entrepreneurs on the call here, you know, that it is possible that you can. And he never decided, he was quitting is not an option. It was just, how do we tweak?
How do we
reformat? He has a clear vision. He has a North Star, and he's not letting go until he hits it. So those are commonalities of the most successful companies on earth.
Burning the boats, quitting was not an option, right? And so survival becomes the mother of invention, and you stick at it. And we've, of course, now we're growing like crazy, and you know, have a huge opportunity in front of us. But it was not an overnight success, right? It was a lot of twists and turns.
So, Travis, how can people come into your universe, your ecosystem, learn more about the opportunity of what TriveVest is and how they can potentially participate themselves? And and then the last thing I would say is, once you tell me that one, what's the impact you want to have on the world? So I'll let you take
it. Thank you. Well, you know, it's interesting to become a capital aggregator on the TriveVest platform. You actually need to come through our partners, right? So Viking, for example, is one of our lead sponsors, right? They offer a fund-to-fund program. And while you're, you know, working and partnering with Viking to raise capital, we become the back office platform servicing to make sure you're doing that compliantly, professionally, in a turnkey way. So, you know, you don't come to us and say, hey, I want to form a fund to fund. You have to have already been you know, found the lead sponsor, and you have to have already have a deal, and you have to have already kind of have your investors lined up. Another partner form that we have is, you know, through masterminds and training. So you can come directly through Viking, but in partnership with Limitless MD, you know, you can learn about this business model, and that's another way to access us. Of course, you can hit us up on the website and we'll answer any of your questions, but until you have the lead sponsor and the deal and you're ready to kind of spin this all up in a compliant and professional way, there's not much we can do for you. So it's kind of an interesting distribution channel, which is one of the things that we learned along our journey.
So remember the top four things that you need to get this as a side hustle or business that you guys can do right away. One, deal. Two, sponsor. Three is a network or a tribe that you can cultivate and, you know, start working together with. And the last one is the platform, which we've talked about. So if you have those four things, this can literally be a 10 to 15 hour side hustle per week side hustle that can rival your current income. So something to explore.
That's right.
And then last but not least, man, what's the impact, brother?
Yeah, you know, I'm the CEO of a future $1 billion company, and we're dead set on putting a dent in the universe. And how we're going to do that is by empowering these capital aggregators, and so they can pull with them millions of limited partners, millions of passive investors that would have never had access to these deals and these types of opportunities. So our goal is to make investing in the private markets mainstream, going from a million people and institutions, invest in the private markets all the time. It's a huge part of their portfolio. But how do we bring that down to the passive investor, to the limited partner? And again, it's all about empowering the hero in this story, which is that capital aggregator, to be able to pull their network with them. And we're going to have over 15 million. We're going to go from a million passive investors into the private markets to 15 million. That's the impact.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you for sharing your time, your energy, your wisdom, and the backstory of TribeVest. Appreciate you, brother. Looking forward to seeing you at one of the next events. And guys, thanks again for tuning in. Appreciate your support of the podcast and the YouTube channel. Look, it's growing and it's thriving because of you guys. So thank you again. And looking forward to seeing you on the next episode. Until then, be phenomenal.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Limitless MD. If you found value from this episode, I encourage you to share this episode with a friend and let me know by leaving a review. For more information, make sure you check out the links in the show notes below or simply visit vikramraya.com. Until next time, be phenomenal.